1 Samuel 17, verses 32 to 37, is a section of a familiar story to many, if not most, or all. It's part of the David and Goliath story, so it will be familiar. This is before David goes out to fight. This is his exchange with Saul, the king of the Israelites at the time. Follow along, if you will, in your own Bibles, the pew Bibles, or simply in your hearing, but receive with open hearts the word of God. David said to Saul, "Let no one's heart fail because of him," that is Goliath. "Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Saul said to David, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine to fight with him, for you're just a boy, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and whenever a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after it and struck it down, rescuing the lamb from its mouth. And if it turned against me, I would catch it by the jaw and strike it down and kill it. Your servant has killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, since he has defied the armies of the living God." David said, "The Lord, who saved me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, will save me from the hand of this Philistine." So Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." The word of the Lord, my friends. Our second lesson today is again from the Gospel of Mark. I'm in chapter 10, beginning at verse 13. think you've probably heard this one before too. Jesus and his disciples are engaged. People were bringing little children to Jesus in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." Then he took them up in his arms and laid his hands on them and blessed them. In the men's Sunday school class today, the topic of childlike faith came up, so you're going to have to watch me, Dr. Scott, see if I'm holding true to the message here. Well, friends, if you remember back in the day, when we had things like amusement parks and theme parks and Fast and Furious fun rides, there were always those hated signs at the beginning of the most fun rides, hated by children everywhere because they said, as you know, you have to be this tall to ride this ride. Now, most of us have been able to rise up above those height requirements over our years for this personal safety. I will say, however, most of us, I love the short people too. No, I'm not looking at you, Miss Prouty. No. You can hit me later. That's all right. Well, imagine for a moment the opposite, okay? Only this time for something deeply more important than the newest roller coaster ride. If you want to be part of God's emerging kingdom, the very kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the new way of life under the rule of Christ Jesus, then you must be a child in order to enter. In other words, the sign might be switched to read, "Adults not allowed. You have to be this tall to ride this ride." If you did not enter the kingdom as a child, you're out of luck. Doesn't seem quite fair, but it also sounds exactly like what Jesus is saying. Today's sermon is the second of the sermons that I'm doing that focus on Jesus' teaching concerning children in Mark's gospel. Last week, we considered how we value the children of God around us and whether we invest in them to be our help in the generations to come. Today, we're considering this very interesting, even troubling idea of how children can be greater than adults in their welcome to God's kingdom. Of course, many children already know they're better than we are, don't they? At least the children of today. Oh, so many things were different back then, right? I don't think young people back then had quite some of the swelled heads or senses of entitlement that so many young people today can have in our American culture. In other poorer cultures today, children seem to be much more on precarious footing. Their future or success is not nearly as secure as in America. Even with all the ones who struggle here, still so many are set to do well. There is no free ride for young people in so many countries out there, even many places in our own. Children have no claim to boast. And yet, if you notice, David seems pretty sure of himself. Does that seem strange to anyone else? The first Samuel passage that we read today is an excerpt from, as I said, the David and Goliath story. David has shown up at the Israelite front lines to bring food to his brothers, who are apparently part of the troops. Goliath is out there in the front, openly, horribly taunting and intimidating the Israelites. David is mortified for the Israelites and can't just sit back and let Goliath insult them and their God like that. Even though David is a boy and too young to be in the army himself, he has a mind to go out and fight this massive Philistine champion. He pleads his case to King Saul and explains with perfect clarity why this is a piece of cake for him. No different than anything else he's ever fought on the job as a family shepherd. Of course, we know how the story goes, right? We know David is successful, but you have to admit, I mean, that's a lot of bravado from such a young person's mouth. He has no inclination of hesitation. You know, while it might be possible to say he's a little naive, I don't know, he is, after all, a child. Then there is no magic shield around David that will prevent him from ever getting hurt. Still, David is making this dramatic appeal in confidence. Because of his ability? Because of his skill? Because of his courage? Because of his strength? Because of his training? No, of course not. He believes entirely and completely that God will fight this heathen warrior through him. It would be completely ludicrous to believe that a young lad with no military training, no weapons, no armor, would have any hope of fighting, let alone overcoming, this seasoned massive warrior. That's why no one took up the challenge. Everyone looked at their own ability and found themselves lacking. David is no different. He knew he wouldn't have a snowball's chance in Sheol by himself. It was God alone who could deliver him, and God alone would do it. That is a child's faith. When I've read this passage in Mark's gospel before, this passage in Mark 10 that also shows up in Matthew 19 and Luke 19, it never really made a great impression. I mean, sure, I have to be honest with you too. If a passage shows up in multiple gospels, that's you're supposed to notice, okay? That's one clue. But second, this is a passage which is pretty challenging to us if we take it seriously. Obviously, Jesus is not speaking literally here. We do not need to be actual children to enter the kingdom of God and to be part of God's restorative work on earth. But we can take the as children to mean like children. Right? Somehow, we need to be childlike in order to be present in God's Spirit in the work of Christ in this world. And I've always took that to mean that we just have to be innocent or pure or like new people or something like that. But I'll be happy to tell you that I had it all wrong. Jews in Jesus' day actually believed, like we Presbyterians do, in our notion that people are born corrupt and sinful. As sweet and darling, as innocent as children can be, and I know all of your grandchildren and great-grandchildren were the exception, right? They were all angels and never did anything wrong. We do regularly hear the words no or mine, right? From young, those are some of the first words that pop up in kids' vocabularies. There are no rosy glasses here, friends. Jesus is not saying that we have to be sweet and innocent and pure to enter the kingdom of God. After all, that's kind of a silly notion if you think about it. I mean, how would we even reform ourselves in order to be approved by God? It's akin to saying that you have to get yourself right before God can use you or love you or make you a part of God's family. And all of that is as wrong as it gets. That notion makes a mockery of God's grace that loves us as we are and adopts us into God's people as broken and sinful people. Christ heals our brokenness, not us, not we ourselves. So there must be something else. There's something else going on here as children. There's something else. Jesus is not just saying nice things. This brings us back to David, who was not an idiot. He knew that he was not the warrior that Goliath was. He had eyes just like everyone else. He knew the size, the armor, the weaponry. He saw how rational people responded to Goliath's threats. Everyone was terrified. No one in their right mind would square off against him one-on-one. To put it in a little more contemporary context, how many of us would jump into the ring with Mike Tyson or Evander Holyfield or George Foreman or Muhammad Ali or Joe Frazier? Any of them? Any takers? No, of course not. Going even further, could we imagine a boy going into the ring against a champion heavyweight boxer? Of course not. David is not delirious. He knows he stands no chance without God's help. In fact, he is helpless without God being on his side. With God behind him, he can do anything. But without God's strength, he's just a boy. This is the quality of children that we need to see. If you remember from last week, I was pointing out that children back in Jesus' day were almost next to worthless because all they really did was play and get into trouble. I mean, they had to rely on adults to do just about everything for them. David had to rely completely on God's Spirit working through him to defeat Goliath. This one aspect of childlikeness that everyone needs to enter the kingdom of God is embracing our helplessness and dependency. If you want to be part of God's kingdom, you need to know that you need God completely and utterly. I know that's not very glamorous. No one wants to feel deficient or helpless or completely lacking. No one wants to be confronted by their inability or failure or weakness, but that feeling of uselessness is a requirement to being useful to God. It can even be a beautiful thing. It's no accident that the gospel is especially powerful among peoples who have so little. Those who are oppressed or run down, those who are on the fringes of society, those who are forgotten by everyone else. The rich and the powerful and the successful generally have no need for God. They see themselves as sufficient unto themselves. The moment David forgot his need for God later in his own life and sought his own strength and glory, David diminished as a king and never fully recovered. He traded a sling for a crown. It's no surprise that some people have such a hard time being an active part in God's kingdom and the reign of Christ Jesus. Jesus said something about a rich man and a camel, if you remember. It's human nature to try to build ourselves up, try to become, not to become like children. It's human nature to try to do for ourselves, not to depend completely and utterly on God's grace. But if we find ourselves in that situation of powerlessness and weakness and helplessness, there's hope. Just think how many people out there right now are being crushed under the weight of this consuming world. There's no way we can keep up, friends. There's no way that we can win ourselves, not on our own ability. The real victory is our Lord's. This is a child's faith. When we realize we're not our own little gods and we must trust in the one true God for everything, when we know that the goodness of our eternal and heavenly Father will provide for us in ways we could never provide for ourselves, then we know a child's faith. Just like when a child trusts their parent to secure their life, God is for us in that complete and utterly loving way. And God wants us to know it. Then we become useful to God. With humble and gracious and forgiving and loving hearts, we will meet others. And God's kingdom will grow. When the true children of God come together, God is glorified and Christ is in their midst. There's nothing easy about this, though. It's not painless to recognize our frailty. And usually it is because we are broken that we see our brokenness. This is where God works, though. Where we are most at need, where we can give and receive the most love, where we find new ways to be and do as God's children. The power of the cross shows us a God who is willing to be broken right alongside us. And that God came back from the dead. And in that God, we can have new life. To God be the glory. Amen.